Hey, Joe.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, Sarah. Mrs. P. If you take your Bibles today, please. And you can go to Genesis 11. God bless you and Happy New Year. I hope that it will be a healthy and prosperous one, in the generic sense of the word hope, for you all this coming year. After this teaching is over this morning, I would ask that you would just make some room in the center so we can rearrange the chairs and the tables. And then if you like, you're welcome to stay for brunch and to fellowship, and then you can leave whenever you want to leave. It's a good deal. If you have a cell phone, put it on silence. Putting your cell phone on silence does not affect you from reading your Bible programs. Trust me, I do it all the time. So make sure it's on silent, please. Thursday, I started a two-part teaching entitled The Gospel of Intolerance. And by way of review, we saw Thursday, I shared with you the meaning of the word tolerance. And we saw that from the dictionary, the word tolerance was the ability or willingness to tolerate something. In particular, the existence of opinions or behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with. That's what tolerance means. We also saw that Bible-believing Christians are being portrayed in this day and this time as people full of hate, especially among the secular progressive crowd, who encourage people to renounce what they perceive to be the intolerant nature of the gospel. We spent quite a considerable amount of time looking at the origins of the progressive movement and some of the core values that the progressives started out with, including among their core values, stopping corruption in government. They pushed for child labor laws. They pushed for consumer rights. They pushed for ending monopolies. The progressive movement started out as a social movement, and it grew into a political movement. And the early progressives rejected social Darwinism. They were people who believed that the problems that society faced, such as poverty, violence, greed, racism, class warfare, could best be addressed by providing to the public education, a safe environment, and an efficient workplace. They believed in temperance and addressing root causes of problems. They believed in equal treatment for blacks and women, and they also believed that man could eradicate most social failings and problems. They believed in efficiency and perfection, but among all these wonderful beliefs, they believed in all of these things without the assistance or the acknowledgement of God. They were all human endeavors. They were good endeavors, but they were endeavors without the acknowledgement of God. And many held to Darwin's theory of creation. Most progressives lived in cities. They were college educated, and they believed that government could be used as a tool for change. It's a tool for change. When you hear that word change, your ears ought to go up. We saw on a national level, progressivism gained a strong voice in the White House when Theodore Roosevelt became president in 1901. Roosevelt believed that strong corporations were good for America, but he also believed that corporate behavior must be watched to ensure that corporate greed did not get out of hands. One of the good policies that came from this type of thinking was the Federal Meat Inspection Act of 1906 to regulate the meatpacking industry and ensure the public safety. Up until that time, there were no inspectors to see if the place was clean where these things were being butchered. The March 25th Triangle Shirt and Waist Factory fire of 1911 that resulted in the Progressive Party calling for the reforms to labor laws, workplace safety, and equal rights for treatment of immigrants and women. According to the historical documents, 248 people were caught in that blaze. And when they went to escape the building, they found that the doors were locked from the outside. They went to the ledges and to the rooftops, and we have reports as many as 60 of them dying to their death because they didn't want to face the flames. The call to end corruption in voting and other good laws were implemented, utilizing government to serve people. See? But as it evolved over the years, the vehicle that they used to implement change by utilizing government to serve people now became what they would force their views and policies on other people. The policy of tolerance, for instance, was born out of the idea of equality and fair treatment for all. Now this policy would be spun to silence the Christians and kowtow them to acknowledge and obey many ungodly evil practices and laws. As the progressive philosophy evolved throughout the years, they began to abuse the government system they once utilized for good. Today, these secular progressives call Christians extremists. They call them haters. Civil lawsuits and locked churches and threatenings are in the name of tolerance. From a Christian perspective, it's not that tolerance is bad. It's just that tolerance no longer means what it used to mean. Once upon a time, to be tolerant was to respect the views of others. Now, because it's been spun and fed back to us, tolerance means acceptance of everybody's views as equally valid. Today's secular progressive humanist movement has pledged all-out war against the gospel of Jesus Christ. The philosophy or life stance of secular humanism embraces human reason, ethics, social justice, and philosophical naturalism while specifically rejecting religious dogma, the supernatural, pseudoscience, or superstition that bases morality and decision-making on it. They call superstition a god, the Bible. This is what it's referring to. Because we base our morality and our decision-making on God and the Bible. But according to them, it's a superstition. Progressive humanism is a philosophical and ethical stance that emphasizes the value and agency of human beings, individually and collectively, and affirms their ability to improve their life through the use of reason and ingenuity, as opposed to submitting blindly to tradition and authority or sinking into cruelty and brutality. See, it's all about the mind with these guys, how smart they are and what they can sit down by using all these equations to figure out the answer to the problems of life. They should figure out how to stay married, a lot of them. Since the 20th century, progressive humanists have been aligned with secularism. And today's humanist typically refers to a non-theistic life stance. They don't believe in God. Centered on human agency, and they look to science rather than revelation to understand the world. That's where their answers come from. Science can answer these questions, not revelation from the Bible. Their pools of education reflect the thoughts of ancient days of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel record emphasizes a sharp contrast between man's opinion of his own achievements and God's point of view of these achievements. There are books throughout the Word of God written from man's point of view and God's point of view. The Tower of Babel was an outrageous project, the ultimate man-made achievement. It resembles the modern masterstrokes humans continue to build and boast about today. In order to build the Tower of Babel, the people used brick instead of stone. They used tar instead of mortar. Brick and tar are man-made materials. Instead of using the more durable God-made materials, the people were building a monument to themselves to call attention to their ability, their achievements, instead of giving glory to God. You're in Genesis 11, verse 6. The NIV reads, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." Understanding this, God points out that when people are unified in purpose, they can accomplish impossible feats, both honorable and dishonorable, both good and evil. Whenever the gospel is accurately preached today, secular progressives call it intolerance. The secular progressive philosophy cannot know the scriptures, and thus the word of God to them at best is foolishness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man is the man of the five senses. He's a man that obtains knowledge and that which he acts on by seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling." There are the five senses. I taught you that the five senses were given to man to serve man, not that we would become a servant to the five senses. The natural man, the man of the senses, the secular man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Greek word translated foolish from the text is the word moria, not Maria, moria. And who can guess what type of English word would come from Moria? Bugs Bunny used it all the time. He said, "What a maroon." We understand it as moron. What a maroon. Bugs was right. A moron is a very stupid person. Okay? This is what spiritual things sound like to people who are secular. They sound like words from a moron, words from a very stupid person. So when in their eyes, when you speak a spiritual thing to a secular person, they look at you and they scratch their head and they say, "This guy's stupid," or "What weird planet he's from." Vice versa. This is why many times when you see the plans and policies that these people make, you scratch your head and you say, "Are these guys out of their minds?" Why is that? Because you're looking at it from a biblical perspective and from a biblical worldview. They can't. They don't have the ability. They're not equipped to do so, because you need the Spirit of God to do that. So at best, their opinion of God and the things of God are going to be, it's moronic. It's foolishness. We don't understand it. And that shouldn't surprise you that they don't understand it. They can't understand it. Would you argue with a dog for barking? Well, see, that's what happens when you begin to get into arguments with people that can't understand it, nor do they have the ability to understand it. You first must introduce them to the Word of God so that God can work in the situation and give them a heart wherewith they can understand things. Proverbs 14, please. The challenge with all of this that I'm presenting to you is to stay out of the mud. And what I mean by that is that when you study a subject, you are tempted to be drawn into that subject. But if you get drawn into that subject, you get pulled off and pulled away from the plate of God's Word. You understand? You know, like when a baseball player gets away from first base, even if he catches the ball and the guy touches it, he's not out, is he? He still failed because he wasn't where he should be and tagged that guy. Home runs the same way. If he's not there waiting at the base, even if he catches the ball and if he's away from the base, he fails. That's what happens with this subject. And that's what happens to oodles and oodles and oodles of people. Christians are right at the top when they get drawn into the arguments of politics. They just know the word and they have this worldview of what's right and wrong and this understanding of what's right and wrong, but yet they get drawn right into it, and before you know it, they're acting like the very people that they're arguing against. Okay? And it's very easy to get drawn into that. Our media perhaps is one of the most five evils in the world. Okay, they are just horrible. They are just the worst. And my cell phone, I pick my cell phone up. It's got this little thing called Cortina. She's always flipping messages to me. Trump this, Putin this, this one. I just go to check my text and it's flipping messages to me. Why is that? Do you think that that just happened to happen? Do you think that that wasn't diabolically written into a program? Because if you don't, there's something wrong with you. Why is it when you go to your computer, your screen comes up, it puts all this slop in front of you? It's there to draw you in. It's there to agitate you. Okay? Now, from a research point of view, because you know my life well enough to know that I don't get involved in politics. I teach about voting, and that's good. But you know I don't get involved with it. But from a research point of view, they're condemning Putin and got this big story that came out 2 days ago. This morning, in a little line, in a little blip, it says the computer that was supposedly hacked wasn't tied into the web and had nothing to do with it. But you're not going to read about that with these big giant headlines. So I don't know which one's true is the point, okay? It doesn't matter. They're both liars. They just want money, and they want to gain the American people, and they want to bring them into their church. It's the church of the media. That's what it is. I caution you over and over again, beware of the media. The media is evil. It's evil. Now, you know, and, you know, I could care less about Trump also, but I will say this for the man. I think he's brilliant in using Twitter to say what he wants to say so everybody can see it before these idiots get a hold of it and spin it. And then you can make your decision whether you hate him or whether you like him. But at least you read what he wrote and not what some idiot wrote about what he wrote. It should have been done a long time ago. Proverbs 14:3 says, "The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. Why is the mouth of the foolish a rod of pride? You see, because they don't know the word. So they have to rely on their knowledge and on their pride. Because they don't know the word. Neither can they know the word because it's spiritually discerned. So the foolish, they rely on their brains, their pride, their knowledge. Psalm 14, verse 1. I said Proverbs 14:3 before. Okay, Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no what?" There you go. What kind of person doesn't believe in God? A foolish person. That's the kind of person that doesn't believe in God. Furthermore, they are corrupt. and they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. How'd you like to put that out on a campaign platform? You don't believe in God, you believe that, you know, things are just going to evolve. No good works. That's God's opinion of them. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek who. They are all gone aside. They are all become what?
Filthy.
There is none that doeth good, no, not what?
One.
See? Man independent of God, this is as best as he gets. That's me, that's you, that's everybody. That's as best as he gets. And God looks down, he said, what's going on here? See? And these are the people who want to fix all the problems in the world. Mm-hmm. Filthy, none that doeth good, no, not one. Corrupt, they have done abominable works. These are the ones that we're supposed to hand our well-being into mindlessly and say, oh, that's okay. Verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? What do? They eat up my people as bread and call not upon what?
The Lord.
They don't call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 1 taught us that it's a fool that says in his heart that there is no God. There is no God. It says that that foolish person is corrupt. And it says that that foolish person has done abominable works. Abominable works. Go to Leviticus 18, please. I want to show you a fool who doesn't believe in God, who is corrupt, and who does abominable works. I want to show you one of the abominable works that is a result of that type of mind, of that type of thinking, of that type of worldview. Leviticus 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not. You know what that means? If you ever dated a woman and she said that to you, you know what it means. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what?
Abomination.
Why is it abomination? Because the foolish people think that way. It's an abomination. Now, if you were a secular progressive, or if you were unsuspectingly taught the secular progressive worldview in your college or your high school, you know how you would react to that type of scripture? See? You'd say intolerance. You call God a hater. You call God a homophiliac or whatever, a homophobic or whatever. Right? That's what you do. And you say all these bad things about people who think the way God thinks. Look, if you were lied to and God was intentionally misrepresented to you, would you embrace the gospel of Leviticus 18? No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because you were taught that God is bad, God is evil, God is intolerant. That's why. Please try and control your mind and stay with me, because if you get what I'm going to share with you, it's going to explain a lot of things in your life and in the lives of others. Now listen very carefully. It's not about politics. It's not about politics. It's not about tolerance. It's not about rights. The devil has once again brilliantly fooled many people with good hearts to get rid of the word. That's what it's about. He's using these good-hearted people, manipulating them, playing them like a pawn to accomplish his goal. He doesn't give two hoots about homosexuals. He doesn't give two hoots about heterosexuals. He hates them all equally alike. He is using people to get rid of the one thing that he hates most of all, and that is God's word, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, who is the word in the flesh. Satan has always been after the word. And he needs to get rid of the word in order to dominate people. You see, the word of God makes you free. The word teaches you the difference between right and wrong. The devil gave them Darwin. You see, he has more than 60, 70, 80 years to work to deceive the world. Okay? The devil gave them Darwin, who was a brilliant scientist in his own right. With Darwin's theory, now the questions of creation were answered by science. He had to get that out of the way. Do you know what Darwin attacked? Do you know what the first verse of the Bible is? God what? That's what Darwin attacked. He went after the very first verse in the Bible. And he had to explain why we have what we have without this God guy. So he got rid of God. You know where Darwin's theory is taught? School. College. See? So they get the people in school and they get the people in college to start to think, oh, there's no God. It's by evolution, so forth and so on. He got rid of the question of creation and he answered it by science. With God as the creator out of the way, the devil now convinced man through the lie of natural selection that man can do whatever he needs to do and he'll do just fine by himself. That it's all in the card, it's all in the DNA, it's all in the evolutionary process. The secular progressive philosophy is nothing more than the lie of Genesis 3 repackaged and marketed to mankind as enlightenment. That's all it is. He used the same trick back then. You don't need God. God don't believe in God. God knows you can do it by yourself. You'll become as gods. Same lie. Maybe a bow, maybe a ribbon, same trash. And they even it up today like they did before. A sovereign God created the heavens and the earth and gave it by lease to his vice regent, Adam, to rule over. And Adam, in turn, you know the story, gave it over to the adversary. Today, they hide behind words like tolerance, like diversity, like living constitution. These types of words, these types of phrases, this type of thinking. Okay? It's all a cover by the devil to use people to get rid of the word. Because all the people that think about this kind of stuff, and in order to ascend to this type of behavior and worldview, it's based on denial of God. Denial of God and acceptance of Darwin. That's what it's based on. Look it up. You don't believe me. They deny the reality of God. They deny the revelation of God. It's based on Darwinism. It's what did he say? It's going to evolve. The strongest are going to evolve, to survive. Nature will make a way. This sort of thing. The phrase living constitution originally derives from the title of a 1927 book by the name book that Professor Howard Lee McBride wrote. Other figures, including Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. and Woodrow Wilson, also used this term, living constitution. The earliest mentions of the constitution as living, particularly in the context of a new way of interpreting it, came from Woodrow Wilson's book, Constitutional Government in the United States. And this is what he wrote. Living political constitutions must be Darwinism in structure and in practice. Wilson strengthened this view, at least publicly, when he campaigned for president in 1912. He said, society is a living organism and must obey the laws of life, not of mechanics. It must develop. All that progressives ask or desire is permission. In an era when development, evolution is a scientific word, to interpret the Constitution according to the Darwinian principle. See? I am confident that where it says one nation, or that God has created all men equal, such and such and such and such, he did not have the Darwinian principle in mind when he said that. And when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. See, the Declaration of Independence wasn't good enough. Now they're going to fix it. See? Ever tell you the story about the Geno Giant? You brought food up, so I might as well just tell you about the story about the Geno Giant. The Geno Giant was Gino Marchetti's signature hamburger. Okay? Don't look at me like I'm nuts. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It was his signature hamburger. They had Geno's, or like McDonald's and Burger King's, all over this area, right? And the best sandwich, I'm telling you, was the best, the Geno Giant. You went there, you got a Geno Giant, right? It was the staple of Geno's. So some young buck came in, and he was a brilliant guy. And you know what he said? I think it was back in 1976-ish. With the bicentennial stuff, he got the brilliant idea, we're going to get rid of this old junky sandwich, and we're coming out with the Hero Burger, right? And he marketed it like that. Thus, Geno's went bankrupt within 5 years. Because they were going to fix and make better what wasn't broken, you know. If they would have stood with the Geno Giant, they would have been fine. What does that have to do with this? These guys are trying to ruin the Constitution. They're trying to ruin the Declaration of Independence is what it has to do with it. It's not broken. Okay? Don't try and replace it. Well, he said society was a living organism and must obey the laws of life, not of mechanics. It must develop. All the progression or the progressives asked, or they desire the permission, in an era where development or evolution, the scientific word is, to interpret the Constitution according to the Darwinian principle. All they ask is recognition that the nation is a living thing and not a machine. Okay? All right, Acts chapter 2. Here's a quiz. You get quizzes in school? I know. What are you going to do? Right or wrong? True or false? Here's the quiz question. 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you know yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of them. Truth or intolerance?
Truth.
Mm-hmm. Unless you purport to the progressive worldview. You call that intolerance. You know what's intolerant about it? Accusing people. You have taken wicked hands, blaming people for what's right and wrong and what they've done. Holding people accountable for what they've done. See? Holding people to the law. Acts 2 verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, not a trophy for everybody. There's only one Redeemer. You understand? Oh, no, where's that going to put our children? That they can't all be the Redeemers. Sorry. Verse 37. And when they heard this, watch it. They were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There it is. If you got eyes to see it. That's the depth of the evil and deception of what the devil's doing. He doesn't want people to hear the truth. Because if people hear the truth, they may become pricked in their heart. And if they become pricked in their heart, God forbid, they should repent and accept Jesus Christ and get what? Born again. See it? It's all a forest. It's all a lie. It's all a deception. And he sat back and he said, how can I get the people from stopping to hear the gospel message? So you know what he did with his horde of demons? One of them raised her little tail and said, oh, I got a good idea. Let's call it, let's formulate this whole doctrine about tolerance and intolerance and diversity and all these other wonderful things that's going to make the people sound good. And then we'll get people talking about it. And you talk about a lie enough, you know what happens. People start to believe it. And then we'll get some bills passed. And then we'll get it in the law. And then we'll be able to control it. And nobody will be able to say the word anymore. And that's a pretty good damn idea if I was a devil and snake. And that's the truth. It's got nothing to do with Democrats. Nothing to do with Republicans. Nothing to do with the progressives either. It's got everything to do with stupid man being manipulated and used by the devil to get to the word of God. That's the truth behind what's going on in the political realm. But if you get sucked into thinking that it's, oh, it's the Democrat against the Republican or the Cocker Spaniel against the whoever, you're all messed up. He got you off on a trail that you'll never get an answer to because there's no answers on that trail. This is bigger than party. It's bigger than nation. It's bigger than Obama. It's bigger than Trump. You know what it's about? What it's always been about. The promised seed of Genesis 3:15. That's what it's always been about, and that's what he's trying to silence. He does not want the knowledge of God's word to go to the country. And for the most part, what has he been able to do? He's been able to silence you about the word of God. You're scared to say that homosexuality is a sin. The Bible calls it a sin, calls it abomination. But they got you thinking that's intolerant. That's not diversity. That's not being nice. You're a hater. You're a breeder. You're a Christian. You understand it? See how he's worked it into our thinking? See how he's worked it into the church? And people who dare to say different are heretics. They're crazy. They're nuts. I wouldn't listen to that guy. See? And even in the church, they've allowed homosexual ministers. The sacredest place of all, quote unquote. See it? It's wrong. It's all about the word of God and about the word of God being destroyed. Now, what do you value more? You value your politics, your party, or the word of God? Because the truth of the matter is you either stand up and count yourself for something that counts, or you become a coward and turn your back. And you can get mad and you get ticked off and you're starting the year out the right way. I don't care. I'm starting the year out with the word of God. It's not my intention to upset people. It is my intention to show you the truth and bring you back to the truth. Because that's what I've been called to do. Well, look at this. Repent. See? They don't even want you to give them the gospel message. Because the devil knows this. He knows that he's not more powerful than the word. He knows that. And he knows that if you speak the word of God, there's a chance that that person's going to say, oh, the word. And there's a chance that that person's going to repent. There's a chance that that person's going to get saved. He wants to nail that before it ever happens. Do you see it? That's what it is. It's not about politics. It's about the stupid devil. It's always been about the devil. He just uses political people to get his works done, both Republicans and Democrats. The devil doesn't want people to hear the truth. If people do, they will have the chance to repent and receive eternal life. The secular progressive movement are so conceited and prideful. They make easy prey for the devil. See, the one thing that they have a lot of is they know everything. And they're prideful. And you know what Satan has a lot of? I know everything. And he's what? Prideful. So by nature, they're easy prey for the devil. They already have what he needs. He's got to get the church, who is encouraged to be meek and humble, to become conceited and prideful before he can trick us. But he's already got this coming to him. Because of their faith in their education and their superior intellect, they have inherently fell into the hands of their God and their master, the devil. And he pushes them around like pawns, and he moves them around, he manipulates them, he deceives them, and the world, for the most part, looks at it and says, oh, that's just politics. It's not politics. This is the war between good and evil, between God and the devil, played out on the grand stage of the earth. That's what it's all about. And you'll never see it unless you look through it through the eyes of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1. Poor guy comes all the way up from South Carolina and you hit him. Sheesh. That's a fine, how do you do? 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And you want to know something else? Don't discount the prophetic message of the gospel. I didn't say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said the gospel, the good news. I'm going to show you the prophetic message of the gospel. It's so when you see it, you'll just look at it and you'll say, I can't believe it. Read along with me the prophetic message of the gospel. Verse 17 of chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why when someone calls me a fool, I'm thank you very much. Because I'm doing what he told me to do. The foolishness of preaching, that's who God chose. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his what? And that's what it gets down to. Where's the glory going? See? You want to know real quick? Just ask the question, where is the glory going to? Is it getting pointed to God? Is it saying praise God? Is it saying praise Jesus? Is it saying said praise the Lord? Or is the glory going to man? Is the glory going to the establishment? Is the glory going to the party? Is the glory going here? That's how you can find out real quick. If it's genuine or if it's false, where does the glory go to? Look at Acts 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See? That's who the promise is to. Now, who wants to stop the promise from getting to the people of God? The politics? No. The politicians? No. The devil does. What is one of the ways he does that? Politics. Brilliantly foolish politicians. 4.5 GPAs. That's better than better, right? And they stop. They want to stop. They use them to stop the word. Because you got to get rid of the word. He's got to get rid of the word. You brought food up, so I might as well just tell you about the story about the Geno Giant. The Geno Giant was Gino Marchetti's signature hamburger. Okay? Don't look at me like I'm nuts. I'm telling you, it's true. It was his signature hamburger. They had Geno's, or like McDonald's and Burger King's, all over this area, right? And the best sandwich, I'm telling you, was the best, the Geno Giant. You went there, you got a Geno Giant, right? It was the staple of Geno's. So some young buck came in, and he was a brilliant guy. And you know what he said? I think it was back in 1976-ish with the bicentennial stuff. He got the brilliant idea, we're going to get rid of this old junky sandwich, and we're coming out with the Hero Burger, right? And he marketed it like that. Thus, Geno's went bankrupt within 5 years because they were going to fix and make better what wasn't broken, you know. If they would have stood with the Geno Giant, they would have been fine. What does that have to do with this? These guys are trying to ruin the Constitution. They're trying to ruin the Declaration of Independence is what it has to do with it. It's not broken. Okay? Don't try and replace it. Well, he said society was a living organism and must obey the laws of life, not of mechanics. It must develop. All the progression or the progressives ask or they desire the permission in an era where development or evolution, the scientific word is, to interpret the Constitution according to the Darwinian principle. All they ask is recognition that the nation is a living thing and not a machine. Okay. All right. Acts chapter 2. Here's a quiz. You get quizzes in school? I know. What are you going to do? Right or wrong? True or false? Here's the quiz question. 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you know yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of them. Truth or intolerance?
Truth.
Unless you purport to the progressive worldview. You call that intolerance. You know what's intolerant about it? Accusing people. You have taken wicked hands, blaming people for what's right and wrong and what they've done. Holding people accountable for what they've done. See? Holding people to the law. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, not a trophy for everybody. There's only one Redeemer. You understand? Oh, no, where's that going to put our children? That they can't all be the Redeemers. Sorry. Verse 37. And when they heard this, watch it. They were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There it is, if you got eyes to see it. That's the depth of the evil and deception of what the devil's doing. He doesn't want people to hear the truth. Because if people hear the truth, they may become pricked in their heart. And if they become pricked in their heart, God forbid, they should repent and accept Jesus Christ and get what? Born again. See it? It's all a forest. It's all a lie. It's all a deception. And he sat back and he said, how can I get the people from stopping to hear the gospel message? So you know what he did with his horde of demons? One of them raised her little tail and said, oh, I got a good idea. Let's call it, let's formulate this whole doctrine about tolerance and intolerance and diversity and all these other wonderful things that's going to make the people sound good. And then we'll get people talking about it. And you talk about a lie enough, you know what happens. People start to believe it. And then we'll get some bills passed. And then we'll get it in the law. And then we'll be able to control it. And nobody will be able to say the word anymore. Now, that's a pretty good damn idea if I was a devil and snake. And that's the truth. It's got nothing to do with Democrats. Nothing to do with Republicans. Nothing to do with the progressives either. It's got everything to do with stupid man being manipulated and used by the devil to get to the word of God. That's the truth behind what's going on in the political realm. But if you get sucked into thinking that it's, oh, it's the Democrat against the Republican or the Cocker Spaniel against the whoever, you're all messed up. He got you off on a trail that you'll never get an answer to because there's no answers on that trail. This is bigger than party. It's bigger than nation. It's bigger than Obama. It's bigger than Trump. You know what it's about? What it's always been about. The promised seed of Genesis 3:15. That's what it's always been about, and that's what he's trying to silence. He does not want the knowledge of God's word to go to the country. And for the most part, what has he been able to do? He's been able to silence you about the word of God. You're scared to say that homosexuality is a sin. The Bible calls it a sin, calls it abomination. But they got you thinking that's intolerant. That's not diversity. That's not being nice. You're a hater. You're a breeder. You're a Christian. You understand it? See how he's worked it into our thinking? See how he's worked it into the church? And people who dare to say different are heretics. They're crazy. They're nuts. I wouldn't listen to that guy. See? And even in the church, they've allowed homosexual ministers. The sacredest place of all, quote unquote. See it? It's wrong. It's all about the word of God and about the word of God being destroyed. Now, what do you value more? You value your politics, your party, or the word of God? Because the truth of the matter is you either stand up and count yourself for something that counts, or you become a coward and turn your back. And you can get mad and you get ticked off and you're starting the year out the right way. I don't care. I'm starting the year out with the word of God. It's not my intention to upset people. It is my intention to show you the truth and bring you back to the truth. Because that's what I've been called to do. Well, look at this. Repent. See? They don't even want you to give them the gospel message. Because the devil knows this. He knows that he's not more powerful than the word. He knows that. And he knows that if you speak the word of God, there's a chance that that person's going to say, oh, the word. And there's a chance that that person's going to repent. There's a chance that that person's going to get saved. He wants to nail that before it ever happens. Do you see it? That's what it is. It's not about politics. It's about the stupid devil. It's always been about the devil. He just uses political people to get his works done, both Republicans and Democrats. The devil doesn't want people to hear the truth. If people do, they will have the chance to repent and receive eternal life. The secular progressive movement are so conceited and prideful, they make easy prey for the devil. See, the one thing that they have a lot of is they know everything. And they're prideful. And you know what Satan has a lot of? I know everything. And he's what? Prideful. So by nature, they're easy prey for the devil. They already have what he needs. He's got to get the church, who is encouraged to be meek and humble, to become conceited and prideful before he can trick us. But he's already got this coming to him. Because of their faith in their education and their superior intellect, they have inherently fell into the hands of their God and their master, the devil. And he pushes them around like pawns, and he moves them around, he manipulates them, he deceives them, and the world, for the most part, looks at it and says, oh, that's just politics. It's not politics. This is the war between good and evil, between God and the devil, played out on the grand stage of the earth. That's what it's all about. And you'll never see it unless you look through it through the eyes of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1. Poor guy comes all the way up from South Carolina and you hit him. Sheesh. That's a fine, how do you do? 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And you want to know something else? Don't discount the prophetic message of the gospel. I didn't say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said the gospel, the good news. I'm going to show you the prophetic message of the gospel. It's so when you see it, you'll just look at it and you'll say, I can't believe it. Read along with me the prophetic message of the gospel. Verse 17 to chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why when someone calls me a fool, I'm thank you very much. Because I'm doing what he told me to do. The foolishness of preaching, that's who God chose. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his what? And that's what it gets down to. Where's the glory going? See? You want to know real quick? Just ask the question, where is the glory going to? Is it getting pointed to God? Is it saying praise God? Is it saying praise Jesus? Is it saying said praise the Lord? Or is the glory going to man? Is the glory going to the establishment? Is the glory going to the party? Is the glory going here? That's how you can find out real quick if it's genuine or if it's false. Where does the glory go to? Look at Acts 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See? That's who the promise is to. Now, who wants to stop the promise from getting to the people of God? The politics? No, the politicians? No. The devil does. What is one of the ways he does that? Politics. Brilliantly foolish politicians. 4.5 GPAs. That's better than better, right? And they stop. They want to stop. They use them to stop the word. Because he got to get rid of the word. He's got to get rid of the word. Verse 40. And with many other words, the prophetic gospel. Listen. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. It's an evil generation. And we still live in the same administration under the same generation. And the cry then was save yourself, and the cry today is still save yourself. Save yourself from what? Save yourself from their worldview. Save yourself from their thinking. Save yourself from their devices and their plans and their schemes. See? The devil is just stealing people's chances to get a crack at eternal life. That's all it is. He already owns them. And if man goes through this world without the interventions of God or the people of God, he belongs to the devil. That's all it's about. And if he uses politics to do it, so what? If he uses the church to do it, so what? If he uses your mother, your father, your sister, your wife, your brother, your pet hamster to do it, so what? He'll use whoever and whatever he can to stop the word from being taught, to stop the word from going to the people. That's what, listen, you might have a good life with politics, but at the end of your life, you're still going to die and you're dead in trespasses and sin. So how good of a life did you have if you never got a chance to get born again? You got stolen from, killed, and destroyed. That's what happened to you. And how did he do it? Politics, church. Churches don't believe anymore that you got to use Jesus Christ to get to heaven. This religion, this club, that club. That's how he does it. You miss the bigger picture. Get refocused. What is the big picture? At the end of the end, what's going to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ is what? Coming back. Colossians 2, verse 8. You want to talk about the prophetic nature of the gospel? Listen to this. Beware. You know what that means? You know what it means if you see a dog with a bottle of A1 and a bib around his neck? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Is that prophetic? You know what the word spoil means? It means to lead away from the truth and subject to one's sway. That's what it means to spoil someone. To take them away from the truth and put them in the subject unto your opinion. The NIV translates the verse, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, quote unquote Darwin, rather than on Christ. The New Living says, don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ. Okay? Here's the next question. Acts 4, verse 12, the New American reads, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Truth or intolerance? Truth. But if I was a progressive, thinking in line with what they think and believe, what could be more arrogant to think that the infinite variety of need of all the cultural groups in the world could be met by a single man by a single Savior. Why would I think that way? Because I would be taught that way. You see? So it's not about that. It's about getting them to dislike the Word. It's about getting them to talk evil about the Word. It's about getting them to go away from God. Because if that's the kind of God he is, I don't want that kind of God. That's what the guy said to me in the garage. He's going to send me to hell. I don't want that kind of God. But I had to correct him and say, you already gone to hell, boy. I said, he's just trying to save you from hell. So don't blame him for something you're already headed for. I said, that's the kind of God he is. Now, do you want to reject the God from trying to save you where you're headed? Go right ahead. See, but that's how they spin it. They spin it. And you got to think. And you can't think if you get involved in politics. Because all you'll do is get all flustered up, and you'll start talking, and then you'll start cursing, and then you'll start accusing. That's what you'll do. And then you will become an idiot like those idiots and start talking and start bringing up everybody's sins and start bringing all your knowledge. And you ought to have as much knowledge in the Word of God. You ought to spend as much time studying the Bible. Right? I'm not yelling at you. I'm just telling you the truth. That'll get you somewhere at least. Because when Jesus comes back, he ain't going to say, were you a Democrat? He's like, well, how did you vote in the 2016 election? What are your thoughts on that? That ain't gonna happen. Romans 3:23. For all have what?
Sin.
Everybody. Everybody. And fallen short of the glory of God. Do you remember the story about David? And specifically Bathsheba? Okay. What right do I have to judge you? What right do I have to say that you're sinning? What right do I have to say that what you're doing is wrong? See, this is the philosophy they use. Well, what if Nathan had that opinion about David? Because when Nathan approached David, who was screwing around and he shouldn't have been doing it, what did that do for David? You know what it said? God had also put away thy what? Sin. Because up until that point, he was going to what? Die. Read the scriptures. You're going to die. So he confronted him. He was pricked in his heart. Remember Acts? The people got pricked in their heart and they said, what shall we do? And they were able to what? Repent. David. He got pricked in his heart. He got convicted in his heart. And is that a bad thing?
No,
you're
no,
sinning,
no.
Man. This is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. I don't care what you. I love you, but it's wrong. Such and such lesbianism. It's wrong. It's wrong. When you do that, you give a person a chance to hear the truth. If someone didn't give David a chance to hear the truth, David would be dead. But because the prophet, I'll say it nicely, had compassion. He confronted the guy and gave him a chance. And praise God, David's sin got what? Put away. And thank God for that, because David was able to go on and write a whole bunch of other things and do a whole bunch of other things, right? Sure he was. It's not about politics. It's bigger than that. It's about eternal life. Remember, I always teach you, don't look at the diversion. Remember, I always tell you, when the flashing's going on here and the fireworks are going here, I always look over here. Remember, I told you, I've been telling you that for years. That's what's going on. Don't look at this junk. Because while you're looking at this junk over here, he's stopping the Word over here. We are called to fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. Will you stand and fight for the gospel, or will you cower at the sound of the lion's roar? When you understand that it's a spiritual battle fought sometimes in the secular realm, you will be able to avoid the political rhetoric and return to your God-given assignment as an ambassador to the world for Christ. But you're too busy with all this other junk going on in your head to remember that God has called you to be an ambassador to this world. But as long as you get involved with this junk, you're going to not even consider it. Just another trick of the devil. You represent a greater kingdom. You are in the world, but you're not of it. You are seated in the heavenlies looking down. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory, contrary to what the first lady says. You have the eternal hope. And the eternal hope does not lie in any political party, but it lies in the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. You call that intolerance? I call it Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is the evil day. Don't let them push you. Don't let them stop you from speaking about your Father and about your Lord Jesus Christ. Be informed, be wise, be involved, but don't be deceived. Vote, but remember, in the end, the one who will rule the kingdoms of the world, his name is Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight, finish your course, and keep your faith. And don't get yourself pulled in to the political climate and torrent that's going on out there today, because it's only going to get worse. It's like a bee's hive. Okay? Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for each person here. We ask your blessing on them. And of today, Father, I ask that they see that it's a spiritual battle. It's a great manipulation. It's a great deception. It has nothing to do with man. It has everything to do with the interference of the devil in man's life. Period. Thank you that we belong to the kingdom of God. Thank you that you are our Father and we look unto you, and we can love people and bless people. We can be educated, not fight with people, but we can introduce the word and let the word do the work. And if you have called them Father, we have done our job. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for this meal that we'll share together, for those that will stay, for those that will leave. Bless them, Father. Give them a safe trip home. And I thank you that we can enjoy each other's fellowship today, and that we can talk about you and your glory and your love, Father, and start this year out as ambassadors for Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.